On the show today, Rich and I discuss the death of Matthew Perry, smoking a leg of lamb, and we drink a busted pipe. I'm your host, Brad Jackson, and you're listening to the October 30th, 2023 edition of Coffee and Cochon. So, Rich, some sad news from this last weekend. Matthew Perry, the actor who played Chandler Bing on Friends, has died. As of recording time here, they haven't really determined what the cause was. He was found dead in his home in his hot tub. They're not sure what happened, so I don't want to speculate or anything. But I wanted to talk about not only Perry and his role as Chandler on Friends, but sort of that show as a whole. If you remember, I mean, that show came out when you and I were in, you know, like high school or something, and went on through college, and was sort of during that era when all TV was on NBC, like it's, or at least it seemed like it. Like there was Friends, there was Cheers, there was Seinfeld, eventually Frasier. It seemed like at night you turned on NBC, like that's what you watched, and it's interesting because. Friends has gained a whole new popularity, like a whole second life in streaming now. And all new generations are discovering this show. My kids watch Friends, which is kind of funny because it's a show I watched when I was a teenager. And it's interesting. That's a show that could not be made today, would never be made today, because it's essentially a group of straight white friends in New York. It's, I mean, you can't do that anymore.
There have been think pieces written about how problematic Friends is, you know, from Chandler's dad or his mom or his two moms, everything. It's a, you know, plus what you just mentioned about all the white people. It's surprising that it hasn't been retroactively canceled.
It hasn't. You're right. But you know, it's funny. It's still funny. I wouldn't say that, for me, it doesn't have the sort of lasting impact that I think a show like Seinfeld does. Seinfeld still makes me laugh out loud when it's on. And I can't, like, fall asleep to Seinfeld like I can, like Friends or Big Bang Theory or something like that. But it comes from a different era. And what I appreciate about that show... What I appreciate about that era is that it was not a time where TV was there to hit you over the head with some sort of fucking message. It was there to entertain you, to make you laugh at the end of a long day. I'll never forget, like when I was a teenager, I had a job at the mall. I managed an ice cream store at the mall, in the food court, and on breaks. We would gather at a bunch of the assistant managers would all gather at the shoe store in the mall because they had TVs that were, you know, supposed to be turned to sports. But we would watch things like Seinfeld and Friends and Frasier and stuff on TV for our break. There were a bunch of us that would get together and we'd each bring like a piece of food from our respective restaurants and we'd trade. And that was what we did. And, I can't tell you how many times, I've seen some of those Friends episodes. They're classics. And it's funny because Friends has a very significant international following as well. I remember meeting someone at college who said that they learned to speak English, by watching Friends. And I remember saying, like, that's really not the best option. Like, I'm really not sure that's your best idea. Have you tried Sesame Street? That might be better. But apparently that's not an uncommon thing. Like, people overseas watch so much Friends that it teaches them English. Maybe it also teaches them sarcasm and wit. I don't know. But it's interesting to me because this is just a show that still has lasting appeal. It's been seen now by generations of people. Matthew Perry was a terribly troubled person. He did not deal with fame well. It's terribly sad, all the struggles he had. He had a wonderful book that he published. Gosh, I think it was last year.
I believe so.
Yeah, sort of telling his story and everything, his struggles with addiction. You can see if you watch, if you sit down and watch Friends over a long period of time, you see his weight fluctuate greatly during that show. And at times he looks cachectic. He's just bones, skin and bones. And then at other times he looks a little heavy, and it all depended upon what substance he was abusing at the time, apparently. And he said in an interview I saw where he doesn't like to watch the show. He understands how impactful it was. He understands all these people like to watch it. But he doesn't like to watch it because it reminds him of, he can see the season and go, oh, I was on coke that season, or oh, I was on pills that season, or oh, I was drunk that entire season, or whatever. And so it sort of brings those demons back up, which I totally understand. But I think what is so great about him and that show is that it has this lasting sort of fun energy still all these years later. It's a show you can just sit down and watch and laugh. And that just seems so rare today, don't you think?
Yes. And to your point about the cross-generational appeal, my almost 14-year-old daughter loves Friends. And she spent the weekend with a friend of hers. And this morning, my oldest daughter said, you know, did anybody tell Scout about Matthew Perry? And, you know, she had heard, and she's in the denial phase. She's like, I think it's a hoax. And it's like, no, honey, this is real. It's been verified by legitimate outlets. This is not one of those internet rumors. But she watches it constantly around the house on, I think it was Thursday. You know, I was in the kitchen doing something and doing this and that. And she was in the living room watching these reruns of Friends. She's got Friends pajamas. And when you mention how it's not the same as a Seinfeld or something like that, what makes Friends so special is that maybe it isn't as cerebral, but it doesn't require as much to enjoy it.
Totally
so
true.
With like a Seinfeld, you have to have a certain level of bitterness that can only be achieved by some age. Whereas with Friends, you can take those surface level jokes and, you know, Joey saying, how you doing, or Chandler being able to deliver sarcasm no matter what sentence came out of his mouth. And that stuff is very approachable to a wide variety of audiences. And, you know, even if it wasn't the greatest show ever, it was super well written, and it was written in a way that it could appeal to a lot of people rather than trying to be, you know, a show just for one specific audience, which is the problem with a lot of entertainment now is, you know, you and I aren't the audience that wants to be beaten over the head, but there are people who do. And so you have these shows, especially with the streaming era, where you're right, the writers are writing for a smaller and smaller segment of the audience. Whereas in the heyday of the 90s with, you know, NBC's dominance, they were writing shows for anyone. You know,
yeah,
you could be
I want to touch on that for
guy.
A second. Yeah, because that's a very, very good point, and you're right. For instance, there were 53 million people, 53 million people who watched the live finale of Friends. Like, shows today are happy if they get a tenth of that, and I'm not kidding. Like, if you have 5 million people that are like, hey, it's a success. There were 53 million people who watched that show. I mean, you're right. Its appeal is undeniable.
And it's, you know, not to go back to a topic that we've already ranted about, but it speaks to a problem with the streaming era and the disaggregation of everything, whereas you don't have to try to appeal to everyone, but it honestly, it makes the product a lot worse in a lot of ways, because you can just kind of preach to the choir or just go to your specific niche audience instead of trying to reach everyone. And it kind of degrades a lot of entertainment in a way, because people don't have to put as much effort into it.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I mean, this was a show that was well written, well acted. It was a show of its time, and it's still enjoyable. I mean, that's wonderful that your teenage daughter still loves this show. It's a little weird that across generations like that, they can enjoy it like we enjoyed it. But you know, it's sad. I honestly hope that Matthew Perry finds peace in the next life that he couldn't find here, because he had a lot of demons to deal with. And I hope that it's a little better for him next time.
Yes, yes, definitely. As you mentioned, he craved fame. And if you look at the excerpts from the book, and I haven't read the book, but it's just like, I had to be famous. But he got it, and he kind of hated it. And so he spent his whole life dealing with the fact that he didn't want what he had so wanted to achieve, or he didn't enjoy what he had so wanted to achieve. And it just, you know, like you said, rest in peace. And, you know, everyone, it's a good time to watch Friends again. It is streaming after that brief period a couple of years ago where millennials had to learn what DVDs were, but, you know, it's back on, and you can and crank it up and see some of the work he didn't want to watch, but that was nonetheless enjoyable for the rest of us.
It was. It was a wonderful show. Okay, to change gears.
Yes.
I don't have a segue for this. I don't get a lot of chances to cook anymore, because I'm really fucking busy. So when I do get to cook, I like to do something big. So a couple weekends ago, a friend and I got together, and we smoked a 6.5-ish pound leg of lamb, and it was absolutely fucking incredible. I mean, this was the best smoked piece of meat I've had in a long time. It was wonderful. And I wanted to share that with you, because it's actually pretty easy to get a leg of lamb and get at your butcher at your grocery store. It's a very forgiving piece of meat, much like a brisket, because it's a big chunk, right? If you season it well, the great thing to do with lamb, I cut a bunch of slits, I'd say maybe a dozen or so, in the fat cap of the meat, and I inserted little pieces of garlic in each of those, lots of salt, lots of pepper, and then we smoked it for about 3.5 hours, low and slow, on the smoker. At the same time, we had some shallots and smoked shallots. I'm telling you, smoked shallots, holy crap. Those were incredible. We also did some butternut squash, which were awesome. And we did a marrow bone, because it happened to be sitting next to it in the case at the grocer. And I was like, and I'll take the marrow bone. So the best bite of the night, bar none, was a crispy piece of sourdough bread that we got from a baker. And we spread some of the marrow bone goodness on it. Then a piece of the lamb, then a piece of smoked shallot, then some of the garlic from the lamb that had been smoking with it the whole day. And oh my God, it was like a religious experience. It was incredible. And, you know, lamb is one of those things that it seems like a holiday meat, right? Like sometimes you do lamb at Christmas, you do like a rack of lamb or something, or you might do it for like a big occasion. But it's not a meat that I think a lot of Americans go to right away. You think beef, you think chicken, maybe you think a turkey or pork or whatever, but you don't really think about lamb. And I'm here to say, like, embrace the lamb. Like, it may be a cute looking animal, but it's also super tasty. Totally worth it. Get yourself a nice big fat leg like that. I'll include some pictures when we post the show, and you'll absolutely love it. I mean, it is incredibly tasty, and a really fun sort of different meat to do.
And so for people who are more accustomed to smoking, you know, pork or a brisket or whatever, at 3.5 hours, it sounds like you took it to, maybe 135 or something. So
yeah,
kind of
walk
us
there.
Through
yep.
the process for smoking lamb so that it ends up still juicy and flavorful.
So the trick was to make sure it didn't get too hot. Now, we have a smoker. This was a smoker we made to do whole hog. So it's kind of a big boy. This was just obviously like a 6-pound piece of meat. So the trick was, at first we realized it was getting way too hot because we were used to doing a big whole hog. Once we got the temperature right, it ended up being incredibly juicy. It was, it had a great sort of, char on it. And we really liked the inserting the little garlic bits just gives you this extra sort of umph of flavor that you don't get otherwise. It actually, I was wondering like what other ways can you, how else can you use this? Because it's kind of a fun deal. Like I remember I was asking my grandmother about doing lamb and she was talking about how they used to do these things where they'd slice it and put the garlic in and then put it in the oven for, you know, a whole day or whatever. And I thought, well, why don't I do that? Even though I'm smoking it, why don't I do the garlic and the lamb and see how it turns out? And I loved it. And it makes me wonder, like, what other ways can you, how else can you use that idea? Like, could you do that with brisket? How would that taste? What would that be like? Or maybe a pork shoulder or something. It just kind of got me thinking because I liked that. Also, the smoked shallots, like, were the star of the show. Like, I love shallots. When I first tried to get my kids to eat shallots, they're like, hey, they kind of look like onions. Is it going to taste like an onion? I'm like, no. A shallot tastes like butter. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. We'll have a whole bunch of them. And I love shallots. They're one of my favorite vegetables, and I use them all the time. And it always makes me think back to Tony Bourdain, who said that restaurants make food taste better because they use more butter and shallots. And salt. And so whenever in doubt, I'm like, well, let's just add butter, shallots, and salt, and it'll taste better. And it does. So I got to tell you, the whole lamb, the shallots, the marrow bone, I mean, it was great. It was one hell of a meal, and it felt nice to cook something for a whole day. I mean, you know what that's like, Rich. Like, you put a lot of effort into it, right? And so at the end, like, you're hungry. You're like, I've been smelling this all day. I get to finally eat it now, and it was wonderful. So I got to say that was one heck of a way to do lamb.
Yeah, and real quickly, before we get into this cocktail, I have seen the technique for inserting pieces of garlic into meat. And I would have to look it up, but I've seen it done for cheaper pieces of beef. So taking something kind of tough, like a chuck roast or something, and really slow cooking it to make, to slice it real thin, almost, you know, like you would see in a Brazilian restaurant where they slice it off the spit, and doing a cook like that to make sandwiches and things with the garlic inserted like that. So
now I tell you what, chuck roast, I think those are really a disrespected cut of meat, because if you take one of those and you sous vide it so where it's like just insanely delicious, and then you sear it really hard, really hot sear on all sides, like it ends up being like a big like piece of roast beef essentially, and ends up being really tasty. That's a great cut that might benefit from something like this, because it's a great way to inject flavor and in kind of a cool old school way. I mean, you don't see that a lot very often anymore. I highly recommend it. Okay, so for today, you gotta clue us in on this awesome cocktail, because a broken pipe, that's a great name. What is this?
So I was at a soccer tournament last weekend, and my friend Charlie Murphy, not actually Charlie Murphy, his name is Charles Murphy, but he goes by Chuck, but in the app for parents, he put Charlie Murphy in for fun. And so naturally, that's how I saved him in my phone. But he's a bourbon guy like I am. So we'll talk to each other when we're traveling or whatever. And we live in different counties. So, hey, I just saw this at the liquor store. Do you need a bottle? And vice versa. So we're always trading little bits of information. And we're both, like I said, mainly just bourbon guys where, you know, even though I do these cocktail segments, most of the time it's just bourbon in a glass. And he clued me into this busted pipe, which is a super simple one-to-one cocktail where you take, an ounce and a half. You could do 2 ounces each if you want to really go big, of bourbon and Amaro Nonino. You put that in a glass with ice and stir it down until it's nice and cold and diluted. And then you can either strain it into just a glass and serve it up neat, or you can strain it over a giant cube. It's, you know, really just your own preference there. No garnish was given. If you wanted a garnish, I'm sure it wouldn't matter. But it's just a really great fall beverage. And, you know, where we are in Arkansas, we kind of just skipped past fall. It was last weekend, granted I was in Tennessee, but it got up to be 90 degrees. And right now, outside my house back here in Arkansas, it is 38 at the moment. So we just skipped, but, it's got a good, rich, warming flavor, and it's just not too much, you know, and looking for cocktails, it's fun, but it can get to be a pain in the ass because you don't want to go track down all these various, you know, liqueurs and things like that, that you may only use once. But Amaro Nonino is a great one because you can use it in a variety of things. And so it's a bottle that will get used. But then if you are a bourbon guy or just looking for a different cocktail, it's a real easy one. Like I said, 1-to-1, get it cold, drink it, enjoy it. And it's very approachable for someone who maybe likes bourbon but doesn't like to drink it neat and is looking for something different than on the rocks, because the Amaro softens things up. So just a really great simple cocktail that I would highly recommend to anyone who likes cocktails.
And I gotta say, so those are two things I always have in my bar, because I love Amaro Nonino. It's one of my favorite just after dinner drinks. I just like to have a little glass. I might shake it to get it cold and then just to have it straight up. But Amaro Nonino is fantastic. It's part of one of my favorite cocktails, which is the paper plane, which I think we talked about on the show before. That's a great way, like combining those two. That's a fantastic idea. I love that. And, the Broken Pipe is just, it's a great name for a cocktail like that. It's really good. I like that quite a bit. All right. So there you go. This next weekend you can huddle in. Watch in what is probably cooling down in your area. You can watch Friends, smoke some lamb, and have a nice Amaro Nonino with bourbon. That sounds like a grand old time, Rich.
Yes, it does. And it's getting to be a great time to get out your smoker, because it's so much easier to regulate the temperature when it's not 100 degrees outside.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a really good point. I know a lot of people like to grill and smoke in the summer, but God, when you live in the South, it's actually harder to do that at that time of year because it's already hot. And so you have to deal with the heat, and it's harder to keep the smoker at the temperature you want it. Now that it's cool outside, this is the time of year I like to actually spend more time outside cooking. And it's also cigar weather, so that also helps. This, I think, is a great little setup for you to have a good fall weekend next week, don't you think?
I would agree.
All right. Thanks, Rich, as always. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Brad.